Well, good evening. I trust you've had a good week. I've had a good week. It started 4 o'clock Monday, a.m. We got ready and went to the hospital and spent a little while there that day. And, of course, we wound up with a 8-pound, 4-ounce baby girl. And, of course, she's beautiful. And I'm already being wrapped around her finger now, and she's not really making much noise yet. But when you look at them, they look just so wonderful. They're just such a beautiful, they're just wonderful. So we're excited about it. Pam's doing well. I have not slept a whole lot because Jacob, which is their first child, is sleeping with Joy and I. And I have found out that if you put Joy on one side and me on the other, he's in the middle. We form an H because he sleeps this way. I think it was the first night. I had taken off Monday because I knew he was going to be at the hospital all day, and I planned on going back to work Tuesday. And about 12 o'clock, I sent some emails to my boss at work and said, I'm not going to be there because our child or our grandchild is just having a fit. And so we didn't get a whole lot of sleep, and I think we finally got to sleep about 1:30 in the evening, and I had just got dozed off real well. And then this foot came right across and hit me on the nose. And I really thought he had broke my nose or busted it either way. But so we're adjusting. Pam is home today, and she's at the house. And so we're adjusting again. Joy and I have been alone so long. We're used to having the house for ourselves, and it's quite a change. But, you know, we love them, and we know everything is going to be well. Jeff Croft had made a comment to me the last time I went to Singapore. This is probably the last time I'll tell you a Singapore story tonight, but that is part of the message this evening. But he had said, go to Singapore and come back and bring lots of stories. And I do have lots of stories, but the probably one I'll tell you tonight will be the last one. But I want to tell you something kind of funny this evening. About a half a dozen of you have heard this story, and I said, that I would, probably the next time I got opportunity to speak, I would tell you, because it's just a funny story. It wasn't funny at the time, but it was a funny story. If you've been around me long, you know that I really like to listen to Gary Allen Henneke at Nashville First Church. Excellent preacher. Brother Wise says he's my hero. He's really not. But I guess I talk about it so much, Brother Wise thinks that. And Wayne Foskey's the one who turned me on to all the downloads, and you can listen to his messages and all. And Joy had a special birthday this year. I won't tell you how old she is now, but she had a special birthday. And what she said at Nashville this year, the Rockettes will be up there. And she said, you know, I've always wanted to see the Rockettes. And I really wish we could do that. And, of course, you know, when your wife asks for something special, you know, you want to do that. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to get to go to Nashville First Church. And I'm going to get to see Gary Allen Henneke, and I'm going to get to listen to him. So I had my motives on the side, and I said, honey, I'll tell you what. We'll go see the Rockettes. We'll celebrate. We'll do shopping on Saturday, and we'll get to get up early Sunday morning because their service is at 9 o'clock. And we'll go, and we'll listen to Gary Allen Henneke. Oh, yeah, that's great. Okay, so it was all set. So day we got up, before we left, if you know what an MP3 player is, I carry one with me most of the time, wherever I go. And most, it'll hold 16 hours worth of audio. And a lot of you, if you're a young person, it's going to be music. You know, the MP3 player is wonderful. It's a little device, and it has all the stereo quality. You can just listen to it. And I found out that you can stick one of the earphones in your ear while you're driving down the road, and you don't disturb anybody, and you can listen to whatever you want to listen to. Well, we got on our trip early that morning, and we were making headway, and if you're a married couple, you know that after you spend time together, probably after about an hour, you run out of all the things to talk about, right? Maybe that doesn't happen to you, but it certainly happens to us quite a bit. Well, after about an hour or 45 minutes or so, Joy begins to take her little book out. It might be something with women's ministry. It might be something she's working on or some little thing here or there. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, well, that's great. I really enjoyed fellowship with my wife, but now I'm going to get to listen to Gary Allen Henneke. And right on the side of this car, down in this little side next to the door, I keep my little MP3 player. So I just picked up my MP3 player, plugged it in my ear, and I began listening to the Word. And I had drove probably 2 minutes. I don't know if you know what the Holy Spirit feels like. I I tell you, I began to feel the heat. I was thinking, man, this is some good preaching. Man, this guy's fired up. I believe I got some cloves of fire on my head here. I'm feeling real good. And it started getting hotter. And I was going, man, this is hot. I don't really understand what's so hot about it, but I'm feeling heat. This is awesome. Then it started getting a little bit warmer. And I'm going, this ain't right. This ain't normal. You don't get this hot. If I was this hot, I'd be jumping and shouting and doing all kinds of things. I looked over at Joy and I said, Joy, I said, is it warmer here to you? She said, no. Everything's fine. And I'm going, I'm burning up. I am on fire. She said, what? I said, yeah, I'm burning up. She's looking at me kind of strange. And I began to feel so hot. I thought I was just going to catch on fire any moment. And I'm going, this is not, I know my body, something's wrong. This is just not right. So I began thinking in my intellectual mind just a minute, what is going on? My face is burning, all the top of my head's on fire, and this ear that I've got over here, that I've got that little earpiece in, it is just burning me up. And I'm going, oh no, something's wrong. And down on the left-hand side of our car, a long time ago, we purchased these professional cans of mace. So that if anything ever happened to my wife, she could use that can of mace and spray somebody and get away. You got it. That can of mace had leaked out all down in the bottom. And I had put my hand on it. And then while I was playing with that MP3 player, I got it everywhere. Folks, I'm going to tell you what. You don't ever want to be sprayed with a can of mace. That's my first experience. I didn't get it in my eyes. You talking about the Holy Spirit, I thought he done got a hold of me. It was hot. It began to get so hot, I had to pull off the side of the road. It's about 32 degrees outside. This white man was jumping outside the road, running to the back of the car, opening up the cooler, splashing ice on his face, opening bottles, pouring water. My wife was dying laughing. It was a riot. I made the mistake of getting one of the little hand wipes, had the little alcohol on it. It didn't help. It just made things worse. But anyway, that was the beginning of our trip. Maybe some other time I'll get to share another story with you about that trip. This evening I want to talk to you about something a little more serious, but I have a prop. I thought about Jeff Croft he's always got these neat little props. I bet some of you guys know what this is, and some of you ladies have not a clue. It's a golf club. This is an old golf club. This golf club is probably in the neighborhood of 30 years old. Man, this is one of the first drivers I ever had. Now, in golf clubs, they make something called a driver. And a driver is the one that you want to use to hit the ball long, long way. Just tear it up. And back when I was in my 20s, and I'm not there anymore, now I'm not bragging when I say this, but I have had this club, and I could hit a ball 350 yards. Now, you may not know how far that is, but that's 3.5 football fields. And believe it or not, it'd be in the fairway. It's real critical when you start hitting something, but you want it to be in the fairway. Sometimes when you hit that ball and you want it to be in the fairway, and it starts doing this number. And sometimes it starts doing this number. And then there's sometimes it just don't go anywhere you want it to go, and you just get so frustrated and you wonder, why in the world am I playing this game of golf? I have wasted many a dollar playing a game of golf. But when you get that far and you get where you can't control the ball anymore, you have to begin to go back to the basics. And in golf, the basics are simple. You line up on the ball, you get your eye on the ball, and there's a certain swing that you go across, and the ball will just carry right down the fairway. So tonight, we want to look at the Word here, because I want to think about getting back to the basics. And I can't think of any further getting back into the basics than getting back into the book of Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1. And I want to read the first 5 verses to you. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray. Father, as we look this evening and get back to the basics, Lord, I pray you'd be with us. Help us, God, to look at your word. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and help us to examine our lives and see what it is that you'd have us to do. And that, are we doing your work, Lord? Are we back to the basics? Or have we gotten so far out that we just don't know what to do anymore? So help us, Lord, this evening as we look at your word. Pray you'd lay your blessings upon the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was driving this evening coming over, I had already thought about this. By the way, I've had this message since Singapore. I've had it since August of last year. And so I've been mulling around for a while. And I've tried to change it several times, and especially the last couple of days. I've tried to make alterations to it because something didn't seem right. But every time I tried to do it, the Lord just said, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You've done enough. It's where I want it to be. But as we're looking at this, obviously I'm looking at the light and the darkness this evening, and we're looking at guidelines and getting back to the basics. But as I was driving over this evening, I was looking at the highway. You've looked at it every day. And what do you see on the highway? You're driving on one side and somebody's driving on the other. There's two separate pieces. And along those highways, there are guidelines. If you get off the little white line on the side, you're going to be on the road and it's going to be bumping and you're liable to have a wreck. If you get over too far in the middle lane, you're going to cross over and somebody's going to hit you head on. There are guidelines that we need to follow. There's guidelines in our life. Also, if you're a football fan, which I know some of you guys are, and most of them are sitting right over here, but if you're a football fan, those lines, how things are laid out, they all have rules, and if you go across one line, you get some scores, and if you jump out too far on one side, you'll get a penalty. And then there's also more critical you might see is a tennis match. When somebody's playing tennis, that's probably the most exciting thing you've ever watched on TV besides golf, right? The only time you really get interested in tennis is if your kids are playing, and then you begin a little bit, learn something about the game. But a tennis court's the same way. They got the cameras, and a little ball gets a quarter of an inch over the line, and then you're out of bounds. Salvation. When we talk about salvation, there's also rules in salvation. I mean, all of you could probably witness to somebody and tell them and lead them to the Lord. First of all, you have to know the Christ. You have to ask Him to come into your heart. And you have to ask for repentance of sins. There are clear boundaries in those areas. In the verses that we look at this evening in Genesis, where it talks about the day and the night, when you look in the morning or in the day or in the evening, it's not like you're at home with a light switch. It's not like all of a sudden in the morning, everything's bright. Or it's not all of a sudden in the evening, turn out the lights and it's dark. It's not like what you have at home. But what it is, there's a time period. There's an area. There's what I call a gray area. And that gray area comes in the morning and it comes in the evening. I don't know if you're a big avid hunter or deer hunter or you like to go out in the woods, but if you're moving from a daytime to a nighttime and you're sitting in a tree stand, all the little animals begin to get quiet. They go and they find refuge. Why? Because it's getting dark. They can't see. As you move into the darkness, everything begins to hide. If I was to watch what you did during the day, you'd be doing the same thing. All of you probably, if you're working out in the yard in the afternoon, you go on in the house, right? You don't stand out in the darkness, you can't see. Man wasn't made to be out in the darkness. What about in the mornings? Now, what a most refreshing thing is to be in a deer stand and listen to God's little creatures begin to come alive first thing in the morning. There's that little bird just a chirping away, just a singing. Just a singing away. Little squirrel begins to wake up over here. And all you deer hunters know that when you hear that scratching around, it sounds like that big buck's coming at you. It's just an old squirrel bouncing around. Sounds just like a deer. But in the morning, there's life. There's life in the morning when the sun begins to come up. Also, I have an outline here, but I never seem to follow it. I don't know how you preachers do it. If you have an outline and can follow it, good for you. But I'll get off track here in just a minute. But that time between the morning and night or evening, going into the evening, it's really a gray area. And that's what I really wanted to talk about this evening. I want to talk about that gray area, a boundary that we were in. It says in John chapter 9, verse 4, it says, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. That night cometh when no man can work. When no man can work at night. And I told you I was going to tell you about Singapore, what kind of started me on this message a long time ago. Is when I was over in Singapore on the halfway around the side of the world, every day for me was about the same. I would get up at 5:30, go take a shower. 8 minutes, by the way. That's pretty much my standard. I take an 8-minute shower and I'm done. But the night before, I always iron my clothes and lay them out so I can get ready. And I bet some of you women wish your husband would do that too, right? First thing I would do after I got ready that morning and got prepared is I would spend time in prayer. And I would think of you guys. And when I had a moment, I would get on the internet and try to dial up and listen to whoever was speaking Wednesday night or Sunday morning and dial in. Because when you're a long way from home and you can hear familiar voices, you can hear people giving testimonies, it's a good feeling. Being halfway around the world is not a good feeling when there's nobody with you but your cohorts and your workers. But each day as I began to start, I would spend a lot of time in prayer. And that continues on today. I can't go without my prayer. And also my Bible reading. That's just essential for the day. Well, we would get down and we would go down and have a breakfast about 7:30 in the morning. Actually, we'd have a breakfast at 6:30. We'd leave at 7:30. We would go to work. We'd spend a lot of time there. And then we'd come home in the afternoon. Well, I worked with several guys, and I can tell you, I do not believe for a moment many of them were saved. I don't believe for a moment many of them knew Christ. Because every day, when we have spent so much money at this place, they gave us a little card, and it's called one of these little gold cards. And this little gold card was only to the people that stayed long stays and spent a whole lot of money. And it gave you some of these amenities that you couldn't do anywhere else. Well, these men that I worked with, I noticed they would want to get out of work and get back to the hotel by 5:30. Well, sometimes myself and others, we'd work a lot longer hours because we didn't want to have to stay another week. We wanted to get the job done. But I began to catch on because I didn't realize what was going on. Because I'd say, "You guys want to go eat?" They said, "Yeah, we'll go eat about 7:30 tonight. Just meet us down here and go eat." And I just didn't think a whole lot about it. But what was happening, they had what they call happy hour. And it was actually happy hour times two because it was 2 hours. Now what happened at happy hour was some of the guys I worked with, they would come in at 5:30 and you could go down to the bar. And you could have whatever you wanted. You could have as much as you wanted. And this happened pretty much every day. Now they didn't get out of hand, but that's not where I wanted to be. That's not where I wanted to spend my time. As a matter of fact, I began to get to the point where I just didn't want to be around them in the afternoon. And then we'd go out and eat and they'd say, "Well, we're ready to go out and eat. You want to go?" And I'd go like, "I think I'll just go get me something somewhere else." I don't know if you've ever eaten by yourself, but it's not a whole lot of fun. It's never fun eating by yourself. But I would have rather eat by myself than go out with a bunch of men that had too much to drink. But I want to tell you something. I began to think about that, and I began to pray about that. And I had this uncomfortable feeling about going out with them. And then the Lord began to talk to me. He began to show me something. And he said, "I want you to remember the story." It's over in Luke 5, 27 through 32. It's the call of Levi. It said, "After these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, 'Follow me.' And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of the others that sat down with him. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against him, his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance.'" And as I thought about that, I'm going, "I heard you, Lord. I remember that. I remember that being preached on many times, but I really don't feel comfortable going out with these guys. Just really don't feel comfortable with it." And I began to talk to myself, and I'm going like, "What's Brother David Canaan going to say if he comes over here and I'm sitting in a restaurant and there's a bunch of men probably using profanity and just being obnoxious?" Or what if Brother Clinton comes by? I was thinking of every excuse in the book not to go out with those guys. It just didn't feel right. I didn't like it. I didn't want to go out. But again, I began to think about these men. I began to think about, well, who's going to show them Christ if I don't? I don't have to partake. Jesus didn't partake in what they were doing. He wasn't part of all that, but He was there. Maybe I can go out and be a witness. That's exactly what I did. I would go out with them in the evenings, as long as they didn't get too far out of hand. I would sit down and I would have dinner with them. Well, these guys would be talking about one thing or other. Good old Dennis over here, good old Nazarene from Dublin, always had his prayer before he had his food. Always ordered a Coca-Cola or a Pepsi or a glass of tea. Just trying to live the life that Christ would have me to live, to be an example. Oh, believe me, there were many times that I wanted to talk to them about Jesus. But for some reason, there were opportunities. But every time I got ready to say something, it was almost like the Lord was saying, no, just be an example. Just be an example. It was very difficult one evening because one of the guys, I could tell that there was something clicking in his head. He said, you have such a peace about you. I said, praise God. We're going to talk about Jesus here shortly. See, they knew that I was different. But they were so far out in the dark area, they didn't know why. I was talking to someone just recently about a peace that God gives you. I talk about it quite often, actually. There is a peace when you know Christ. When you really know Christ. I'm not talking about coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. I'm talking about when you get down to the point in your life when you really know Jesus. When you have a one-on-one relationship with Him. When He's really part of your life. It really doesn't matter what comes at you. Because there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I have that peace in me. I pray that you have that peace in you. There's a lot of people that don't have it. Absolutely do not have it. I kept wondering, why can't they see Christ in me? Why can't they see? I'm doing all the right things. I'm living the right life. But they just couldn't see it. But you know what? If you never move into the gray area, because the Word tells us He divided the light and the darkness. And when I think about the light, I think about the church. I think about this church as being a light on this hill. A light. I think about every one of you and the light that Christ has in you. We are the light. We're not the light. We're the reflection of the light that Christ has in us. And on the other side of the fence, I was thinking, what is the dark area? Where is the dark area? Now, I immediately thought about these guys. I'm thinking, well, maybe a bar is the dark area. Well, no, not really. The world is a dark area. And if you compare the world against the church, you're comparing the darkness against the light. If we never move from the light, if we never move from the church out into the gray area, and maybe the gray area is your workplace. Brother Wise and I were talking a little while back about my work and where I work at, and I had switched to a new job, and I had 17 people now working for me. And I was wondering really why I had took that job. And what I've come to find out later, that one of the girls come back to me and told me, said, we prayed for a godly man to come back here. Whew. I was thinking, whoo, there it is. I can't leave this job now, even though I want to. Whoo. God will give you some answers. You can impact the world no matter where you are, but if you are content in living in the light and never carrying it outside, how will the world know it? I didn't want to go to dinner with these men. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time with them. They didn't look like you guys. I love every one of you, and I don't mind spending any time you want to spend together because we're alike. We have a likeness in Christ. How do you know you're strong enough? That would be my next question if I was you. Well, I can see, Dennis, that you have enough of whatever it is in you, that you're strong enough to walk in these areas. You've told us that. What about you? Maybe you have the question, you would say, I'd like to do that too, but I don't know that if I could be strong enough. I don't know that if I could do that. There's some scripture in Ephesians 6:10-20. And I titled this, if I gave it a title, Those Strong Enough to Walk in the Light. Here's what it says. It says, Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I can't even read the rest of it without making a comment here. Charlie Eddins is the strongest man I know. Man can deadlift 600 pounds. Probably do it many, many times. But when I read this here, it says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Charlie Eddins can't touch that. But every one of us can, to be strong in the Lord. 600 pounds is a lot of weight, but it's nothing compared to being strong in the Lord. The rest of this verse reads, Put on the whole armor of God. Does it sound familiar to you? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's that peace that I was talking about earlier, having that peace of God. Above all things, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Those fiery darts sometimes come in workplaces as profanity and things that wickedness that you might be around at work and out in the world and out in the different places. Those fiery darts, if you've got this armor on, they're not going to pierce you. But I tell you what, when I hear them, I just cringe because it hurts my feelings, especially when somebody is disrespecting my Lord. It says, above all things, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Psalms 119:105 says, The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in Matthew 5:14-15 it says, You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all in the house. You see, it tells us there that we can't take the light that Christ has given us and hide it. I think so often of the candle lighting ceremony that we have. What a beautiful and wonderful sight. That each of us standing here with one candle lit, and it produces such a wonderful light. But if we don't take it outside of these walls, if we don't take it out into the world, what good is that light? People are stumbling and falling in the world, and here we have the answers. You know, I just wonder, are we doing all we can to bring people to Christ? Back in Romans 6:18, it says, Being then made free from sin, you become a servant of righteousness. On July 26, 2008, Brother Wise, I'm going to quote you because here's what you said. Now you finally say somebody quoted you. Probably not the first. And I thought about this because what it meant to me was, it goes right along with what I was dealing with here. It says, if sin is easy for you, we need to take another trip to the altar. And you might be saying, why did you say that? You see, it's sin is not, is I will not sin because it's not easy for me. I am filled up with the Spirit of God. I have the shield. I have the sword. I have everything I need. God has shielded me. Have you ever seen what I call a junkyard dog? I'm talking about one of those walking around. He's kind of, his hair's all cocked up, and he's kind of walking because he's been in so many fights, and them other dogs look at him and just run the other way because he has been around the block. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you looking at me, as Brother Danny Woodleaf would say, like a mule looking at a new gate. Don't have a clue what I'm saying. But a dog who gets respect of the other ones, who's been through 40, 50 fights and survived, has gotten the respect of those around him. You see, what I want is when I enter heaven, I don't want to enter heaven with this shiny brass plate and this helmet on. What I want to look like that football player that's been gone through so many seasons, got scratches and scars all on him. I mean, he looks rough because he's been in the battle. He's been in the fight. Folks, if your armor ain't scratched up, you ain't doing nothing. You haven't crossed over into the gray area. You know what I'm talking about? We sit here day after day, absorbing God's Word, getting fat and fluffy. It's time to bring out the shears, folks. We got to get out into the world. We got to be willing to step out into the dark areas. Now, I'm not talking about getting to a place where you don't belong. I'm talking about just getting far enough over the line that you can reach over there and pull somebody out of the gates of hell and show them who Christ is in our life. That's what I'm talking about. I know we're running out of time, so I'll go ahead and cut to the chase. These four men, there's four men specifically that I spend a lot of time with. I've had them on my prayer list every day. I pray for them every day, and I will continue to pray for them every day for their salvation because I don't believe they're there. I have one man, he claims to be a Christian. But folks, when you spouting off things against God and using His name in vain, you don't know the same God I know. You don't have the love that I have in me that Christ has given me. Why would I even care about these men? It really comes down to it. Before we spend time praying for somebody, or we spend our effort and our lives going out into the dark areas to reach them, why do we even care? Because sometimes I don't really think we do, or we'd be doing more of it. Something that was a reminder to me as I was looking at some scriptures, I had went to grab us. It's a New International Bible that's it sits in our bookshelf, and there's several other Bibles and different things there. But what really grabbed me and answered that question is, this is a Bible, and if you look at it, the pages, they don't think there's any tears in it. I don't see where any greasy fingerprints had went across it. I don't see where anybody's really spent any time in it. And I'm not talking about your Bible at home. You may have one just like it. Yours may even have dust on it. I hope not. But there's lots that do. But this Bible is special. When I married Joy, she had two kids, Pam and Philip. One was 4, one was 5, going on 6. They're my stepchildren. But I love them just like they're my own. And I'll do anything in the world I can for them. This is Philip's Bible. Little Philip. He was probably 6 or 7 years old when he asked Christ to come in his heart. Saw him baptized in a swimming pool. Just touched my heart. Philip left his Bible when he left home. Philip is out in the world. I'm encouraged from time to time when he comes by the house and we talk about the Lord, we talk about different things. But between me and you and whoever else might hear it, I don't believe he'd make it into heaven if Christ come back today. Those four men were somebody's child. Those four men were somebody's little boys. And whether you're 6 or 60, they're everywhere. And if we could quit looking at men and women as just older people or middle-aged people, and we could look at them like the heart of a child and think about how much we've loved our own children and we want them to make it in, it will give you the courage to talk to somebody about Christ. Most of you have little boys, little girls, grandchildren, they're all precious. They're all precious. But things like this are the things that drives me. I know Philip doesn't have another Bible, and he's not reading this one. You can see where he wrote. I don't know if you can see that good, but a little print. Little Philip, he wrote his name in there. That's a soul. These four men are souls. So when you wonder, if you had walked by and seen me in a restaurant sitting with men that maybe were drinking a mixed drink or something, it wasn't that I was trying to fit in with them. It was that I was trying to tell them about Christ. And that's what we got to do more of. We have got to be willing to step outside the light just far enough that we can bring somebody in. I'll say one more thing in closing. When I had put this together, we were talking about Upward Basketball. If you haven't been over on a Saturday to watch the kids play, it's a wonderful thing. All the kids are running around, having fun, and all the parents are there, and the grandparents are there. It's a beautiful sight. And then our lay people and others and some pastors are over there, and they're giving messages, and the parents are hearing these messages. You see, what we've done is we've took and brought the gray area into the church in a non-threatening manner. Our next step is to get them from over there into here. We don't spend enough time individually doing that. And I think the church has fallen into a trap. And the trap is we will fill the house and expect them to come. It's just not going to happen. We have to find a way to reach them. And this is our current way of trying to reach them, and it's working. So I encourage you to, if you have some Saturday morning time, come out and watch the kids and listen to them and talk to the parents. It is a great blessing. And this church is moving forward, and there will be souls won, I believe. I have seen the battle already starting to happen. My armor is already starting to get a few scratches on it from what we're doing. And I'm just loving every minute of it, because I know that if I'm doing something, then there's going to be a battle. And if I'm sitting there doing nothing, everything's just fine. So I can tell you lately, we've been in a battle. Let's everybody stand and be dismissed. Father, it is wonderful to come into your house this evening. And I know, Lord God, that no matter what I say, these people, they're your people. And they just love you regardless. And Lord, we love you because your light shines in them. And Father, so I pray this evening, as we leave here, let's remember that we need to walk in different areas to help people to come to know Christ. Lord, we thank you. We pray you would bless each family in our church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.